In the name of the one holy and living God, in whom to believe is to see the shape and the pattern of eternal life. Amen. Morning, sir. This is one of those cherished Sundays in the preaching world, where the preacher gets to use their imagination because we discover that all of the commentaries are worthless. Nobody knows what to make of this, right? Everybody's confounded for centuries, millennia. Nobody knows what to make of this. So we get to imagine. What does this actually say to us today? And in terms of the discipline of the church, we get to trust the Holy Spirit to show up and make some sense of it for us today. So we'll do our best. I want you to think on a couple of questions. First question: where do you seek your safety and security? Where do you seek your safety and your security? The child noise is great. No anxieties about it. That's why we bought a sound system. That goes for everybody. If you have something in mind, think on this. Second question: how does that shape your worship? How does where you seek your safety and security shape your worship? Put simply, what do you worship? That's the question before us. What do you worship? I sympathize with the urge and the desire for self-preservation. I get it. I'm like all of us. We're human beings. I mean, we're animals, thinking animals. Sapience does not necessarily mean smart, but it does mean thinking. We're thinking animals. We've all got this urge to self-preservation. It's just in us, right? It's the nature of being alive in the world. And we all know, as creatures in the world, that we are in danger, right? I mean, danger's everywhere around us. And it's helpful to know this just from a human perspective, so that when we look back on these wild stories and we don't have any idea what to make of them, we can look at them with awe and wonder at a people who are trying to figure out, how do we deal with this threat that we don't seem to be able to control? It is constant. It is ubiquitous. And gall darn it, it hurts when you get bit. What do you do with that? So as anthropologists today, we get to look back on it and we get to think, oh, how am I kind of like that? Right? We get to imagine, how am I like that? I'm a human being. I'm interested in self-preservation. As such, I'm always looking for sources of safety and security wherever I can find them. Right? I'm just like that. I haven't worshipped a serpent in a while, but I get it. Right? I get it. I'm just like that. So take that question seriously. Take your answer seriously. Because as the story goes, it affects how we worship. And it affects what we worship. This impetus to self-preservation started early, right? I grew up in the mid-80s, in the tail end of the Cold War. We had great cinema about it. Some of my very favorite cheesy movies were from this era, about how bad the Red Threat was, right? Rambo was on the rise, thank God, right? I mean, I felt better knowing Rambo was out there. Red Dawn, I'm dating myself. Red Dawn was a thing, right? Bunch of poor high school kids just trying to get an education, and here come the Russians landing out in the field. Danger. Well, what do we do about that? I mean, that is a real existential threat. So we're going to get a pickup truck and a bunch of guns, and we're going to go beat them. That was part of my story growing up. And trust me, I lived in a city where the playgrounds around our schools were massive. And I always imagined, as the kid who preferred to sit next to the window because I'd rather be outside, that I better keep an eye out the window as a second grader looking for Russians falling from the sky. We do this to ourselves. We do it to our kids, right? We do it still. It's not some dumb thing from the 80s. We do it still. In the pursuit of safety and security, we identify a threat, we try to identify some source of safety and security, and we cling to it no matter what it is for the sake of preserving a life, right? And we're just as creative as those poor folks in the wilderness willing to worship a serpent. The things we have worshiped have been different, right? Not just as individuals, but particularly as a nation, the things we've worshiped have been different, right? East versus West, stars and stripes versus the sickle and hammer. We set these divisions up, and then we're really clear, you choose this or you choose this. There's no third option, right? There's no room for creativity in this. You're either with us or you're against us. And we know the anxiety that that creates in the system, right? The anxiety that manifests in flyovers at Super Bowls. The anxiety that manifests in demanding our kids to stand up and say a pledge, which if you've seen it from another country's perspective, they think is cuckoo. But we get it, don't we? We totally get it. It's anxiety. It's about preserving an existence. It's about seeking out anything we can get our hands on that will keep us safe and that will keep us secure. And it's important to note that our culture is giving us answers to that question on a regular basis. Right? It's just important to know that. If it's not coming from Hollywood, it's coming from the music industry. Maybe it's coming from extended family. Maybe it's coming from friends on the playground. Hey, if you want to be safe, this is how you do it. And our answers are usually not very good, right? Just as ineffective as the serpent. But we get it. We want to live. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to guarantee it. We don't know how to preserve it. But we want to live. So the desire is good. The answer, bad. The stories that we have this morning are about giving us options, right? We hear in the original story that you've had options out in front of you in terms of who you sidle up with when you're trying to save yourself, right? It is an option to sidle up to lethal power. It is an option to get closer rather than further away from that which kills. Because, you know, if you can't beat them, you may as well join them. And if you want to keep them happy, for God's sake, worship them. Right? Worship them. Make them the centerpiece of your life of worship. Give your whole self to them. That didn't work in the wilderness, though we've got some stories of weird anthropological miracle. Might have preserved a life here or there, but it didn't lead to eternal life because, of course, we know the story. Those folks were dying in the wilderness because it's dangerous out there. So our entire story is Exodus people who've decided to walk out of a culture that says the way you preserve your own life is that you sidle up to lethal power. We're the walkout people who've got kids leading us again in walking. We're the walkout people who said that does not lead to eternal life. Might lead to a false sense of security, might lead to feeling like you're on the right side, certainly the most lethal side, but it does not lead to eternal life. But we get it, don't we? Don't we understand why we do that? We understand the power of it. We understand how irrational it is, though we might think it logical. Have the biggest gun. That's our answer. Someone else has something big, get something bigger. Someone else has something lethal, get something more lethal. That's been our narrative, and we understand it, don't we? And we've propped it up on sticks for everyone to see, everyone to worship, everyone to bow down in front of. We've given our lives to it in so many ways. And so this particular Sunday, God gives us another option if we want it. Actually, it's the only option if you are a person living into the faith. And that option is that rather than sidling up to lethal power, rather than joining and increasing the cycle of violence, rather than choosing to be saved by lethal power, what we put up on a stick in front of us for the world to see is a Lord whose power is in non-participation. We know the world calls that weakness. We know there's a narrative, great cartoons, in fact, in the dark webs, about the pacifists, who, of course, we know are all communist. I mean, that's how we paint this stuff. But if we're serious about this Lord, who we put up on a stick for all the world to see, and we're serious about the means by which we attain safety and security, the means by which we grab and cling to and worship eternal life, God says to us, it is not by joining the fray, it is not by joining the fight, it is by the disciplined, powerful, risky work of laying our arms down. Remember Peter in the garden, who we'll hear about in a couple of weeks? Jesus, let's fight him off. I'll get his ear for you. No, Peter, put the weapons aside. You know the reason we've got Judas Iscariot, the zealot? Not because we need a bad guy who steals all the money. Again, that's how we undermine the revolutionaries. We need Judas, the revolutionary, because he reminds us that even those closest to Jesus might have hoped that he would take up arms and rebel. And Jesus' great disappointment is that that's not what we're doing. So there you have Judas. Lent invites each one of us not to beat ourselves up, not to go criticize anybody else, but to get honest about our own hearts, about our own minds, about the way we're like every human being through all of history who has desired nothing more than safety and security, about how we're all like everyone else, willing to grasp at the closest, quickest thing we can imagine that will keep us safe and secure, about how we all want to live like everybody else. And yet Lent reminds us, living is more than having a pulse. Living is much more than fogging mirrors. Living is about joining God's eternal life now. Not hanging on till we die, now. And the pattern and the shape of that eternal life is what we see on the stick waving in front of us, who says, don't join the fight. The way God wins is by laying down our lives for the sake of stopping the cycle of violence. It may not be logical. It may not be rational, but as people of faith, as the body gathered, risen, and wounded, we know that it's true. Do you believe it? Where do you seek your safety and your security? How does it shape your worship? How does it shape your life? That is the question before us. Amen.